Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The cross of Christ, which is the very foundation of salvation for a believer, represents the termination of so many negative things like sin and death, the flesh, the old nature or old man, even Satan, and the world. Christians love to hear messages on these things, but have you ever listened to a message about the ordinances being included in what was slain on the cross? Well, here's a message for you in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, the enmity, abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments in ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace. Bob Danker has joined us again today as we come back to Ephesians and chapter 2 now after really getting through the book and having a marvelous conclusion last week, Bob, from chapter 6. Now we're going to spend a couple of weeks at least going back and touching some high points and some points of emphasis in Witness Lee's ministry, and we really have one here today, don't we?
We do, Chris. This matter of the slaying of the ordinances, the abolishing of all the rituals and the different ways of living and worship of God, which divide the peoples on this earth. This is a tremendous matter, and one that I would say very few people have any knowledge of.
I think just by virtue of how we opened the program today, people realize that, in fact, probably many are surprised. We did have a program or two, I think, on this topic some weeks ago, but now I think today how the progression will be seen, and the progression I'm talking about is the one that is implied in these verses. And before we join Witness Lee, let's take a minute and talk about who these two are that are being referred to, what this law of commandments and ordinances is referring to, and do a little basic education for the sake of our listeners who maybe weren't here with us when we touched this matter earlier on.
Well, the two here, Chris, refers to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews and the Gentiles are separated because the Jews are God's chosen people. They have the law. They have God's word in the Old Testament. And that law, which Moses gave or came to the Jews through Moses, really has two parts. The first part is the moral section of the law, which sets the standard of the people's conduct morally.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that moral section indicates that the Jewish people, as the people of God, should be God's expression. They should live a life that manifests God himself. But then, in addition to the moral section of the law, there was a ceremonial section of the law. And that section was not related to morality, but it was related to the people's living and their worship of God. This section of the law governed their daily life and their worshiping of God. So they were separated from the Gentiles, not only because of the moral commandments of the law, but mainly through the ceremonial part of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 3 major pillars, I would say, of that ceremonial section. That was, the first is circumcision. The Jews are the circumcision. The Gentiles are the uncircumcision. And the second was the dietary regulations. The Jews had a certain kind of diet.
That's right.
And then the third one was the keeping of the Sabbath. These are the 3 pillars of the ceremonial section of the law. And this is what makes a distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles, makes a strong wall of separation. But God's desire in his economy is to take the Jews and the Gentiles and to make of these two peoples one organism, which is the body of Christ, the church, and the new man, as you read here in Ephesians chapter 2. Well, how is this separation between the two going to be overcome? How can these two peoples become one entity in Christ? Well, as you read in these verses, through the Lord's death on the cross, which not only took away our sins, which not only crucified the old man and destroyed Satan the devil, but the Lord's death on the cross abolished the ordinances.
Yes.
It abolished the ceremonial section of the law, not the moral section of the law, but the ceremonial section of the law, the rituals that governed the people's living and their worship of God. It abolished those things.
It, by extension, Bob, isn't it fair to say that those rituals implied or symbolized by the ordinances here have, through the ages, been advanced and become part of our culture and even our Christian culture? And so we're not just talking about necessarily, in principle, things associated with the old Jewish ceremony, but that we can and have developed our own set of, quote-quote, ordinances, religious things we've adapted into our culture, and these very much separate us from other members of the body of Christ, don't they?
They absolutely do, Chris. Christians, even Christians on the earth today, are divided by different ways of practicing their faith or their worship of God. If you go from one group to another, each group has its own set of ordinances which govern the way they worship God, even the way they live in their daily living.
And of course, Paul is not writing to a Jewish church here predominantly. The church in Ephesus was a Greek or a quote-unquote Gentile church. And so there's an application here for all believers. And I think that what we're going to see today really is profound and so valuable that it shouldn't be missed.
I agree, Chris.
Well, let's join Witness Lee and then we'll be back, Bob.
Many of us have been Christians for years and years, but you have never heard a message that tells you Christ on the cross has dealt with the law, the commandment, and the ordinance for the church to reproduce. You know, what are ordinances? Ordinances are just matters of religion. And I tell you, without ordinance, there's no possibility to have any religion. What is religion? Religion is just a composition of ordinances.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Exactly.
Regardless, what kind of religion? As long as it is a religion, it is something of ordinances. But why Christ abolished ordinances? To create a new man.
Amen.
He wants a new man. He doesn't want a religion. We are used to have an ordinance. And we were born so.
Right, amen.
And we were raised up so.
Right, amen.
And we were, and still are maybe, nurtured to be so.
Right, yes.
But we have to realize, as long as there is the ordinance, there's no reality of the church life. The church life is not a kind of ordinance. The church life is the reality of the living spirit.
Amen.
Bob, it dawned on me listening here that there are really two things at issue regarding the ordinances, at least two. You may have another. Number one, we've already talked about, and we'll talk about some more before we're through today, and that is this separating factor. They separate us from other believers and frustrate what God is after, this creation of these two things into one thing, the one new man, the body of Christ. But the second thing is that when we settle for the ordinances, it seems we often take them, or they end up being a kind of a replacement, and that's where he's really, I think, most burdened in this portion we just listened to, isn't it?
That's right. We rely on ordinances or different forms, regulations, rules that govern our living and our worship rather than on the Spirit. So eventually the ordinances replace the Spirit. God does not want us to live a ceremonial life according to regulations. He wants us to live a life that is in the Spirit. The Spirit is the reality of this organism that God wants to create, the church, the body of Christ, the new man, right? Apart from the Spirit, we are just in the old creation. There's nothing new. Only the Spirit can make us new. Only the Spirit can make us the church, the new man, the body of Christ. The Spirit is the reality. Everything outside of the Spirit has nothing to do with the church, the body, or the new man. It's just something human, something in the old creation, in the old realm where we were before we were saved. We must be in the reality. We must be in the Spirit in order to enjoy what Christ accomplished on the cross and what was created by Him through His death on the cross and His resurrection. That is, the one new man.
Bob, I hear this a lot on occasion when I get to travel around and talk with other Christians frequently who are, you know, being introduced or have just discovered this ministry for the first time. One of the things you just commonly hear, and you've probably had the same experience, and that is that, you know, in my church experience, it just seemed like we were going through the motions. And when I touched Watchman Nee's writings or Witness Lee's writings, you know, I found the living Christ again, the reality of Christ. And that's what attracts people. And that's really the point, isn't it?
That's exactly the point. The Spirit is the reality. The Spirit is the reality of this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus. When we touch this person, we realize we no longer need rules, regulations, ordinances. We have touched the reality.
And they have been slain by Christ on the cross. Okay, now we've already introduced the matter of the connection here, or the importance, the significance of the Spirit, and that is exactly where Paul takes us in this passage as it continues, referring to these two peoples totally separate, the Jews and the Gentiles, or the Greeks. He says in verse 16, "And might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity by it." And now to verse 18, "For through him we both have access in one Spirit." There's the Spirit. Unto the Father. So once again, we'll come back to this matter of the Spirit in a very, very meaningful way. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In chapter 2, from verse 13, you have a contrast of the ordinance with the Spirit. By one Spirit, we all have the access unto the Father. You see, here the Spirit is the replacement of all the ordinances.
Amen.
What you need is to get in the Spirit.
Amen.
If you are with ordinances, you are never to be built up. I would check your sisters.
Yeah.
Just this one thing. The little head cover is sufficient to divide. If you are for ordinances, your sister will be so strong. The scriptural ground in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? You will be so strong. And I do believe you will not pray together with those without the head cover. I tell you, that's division. That's division. That's not the building up. When we are in the Spirit, we don't care for any ordinances. We are only caring for the Spirit.
Amen.
Right away, we are being built together. It is so clearly and strongly proved in this portion of Ephesians 2. Even you are also being built together.
Amen.
How could you be build up together with ordinances? It is impossible. So, in the church life, don't care for any ordinance. You just have to zero in to the Spirit.
Well, he gave us an example of the application here of the problem with ordinances, and he used this matter of head covering, which, you know, many New Testament Christians practice this. Many groups practice this, literally. But he pointed out how it can become an ordinance, even though there's scriptural ground for it. There's a lot of things like that fall into this category, aren't there, Bob?
There are many things, Chris. In the scriptures, we may have a scriptural reason for doing a certain thing, such as what you mentioned, head covering. Oh, it's very clear in 1 Corinthians 11.
Yeah.
The women should cover their head as a sign of their submission. It's very clear there. But the reality is in the spirit. Suppose you as a sister cover your head with a head covering, and yet you are not in the spirit. Do you have the reality of being submissive? Absolutely not. If we are not in the spirit, we cannot be submissive. We don't have the reality. But the right way to practice wearing a head covering is to do it in the spirit. In the spirit, you have the reality of what the head covering signifies. And if you are in the spirit and you practice wearing a head covering, and someone else is in the spirit who doesn't feel that they need to cover their heads, you will never have a division.
Right.
You will always be builded up together. That will be the result. So the Spirit unites us. The Spirit builds us. Ordinances divide.
So practically, Bob, if the Lord comes and illuminates this passage and maybe speaks to a particular sister that I did put this in my word for a reason. I want you to do this as a sign of your being in subjection to me as the head. She has that kind of conviction. That could easily be the spirit. But where the problem is, if externally she now or a group make this a kind of teaching or practice and try to enforce it without the same benefit of the spirit coming, the Lord coming personally and enlightening other different ones.
That's a real problem, because the result will be eventually these two groups, the ones who wear the head covering, those who don't, will divide. They'll separate.
Well, let's continue, Bob. We're now touching something at the very center of God's heart, as it's revealed not just in Ephesians, really in the whole New Testament, the whole Bible, and that is this matter of the building, which is connected to this portion, verse 21, chapter 2, in whom all the building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. And this is really what is at the center of God's heart, isn't it, Bob? Not whether we practice head covering or foot washing, etc., etc.
That's right. God's heart desire is that all His chosen people would be builded together in Him, in the triune God, to be one living organism. This touches the very eternal purpose of God.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Do you still have some ordinances? Do you still hold on to some doctrines? We are not here for any doctrine. But we do respect the holy word of God. Let me tell you a few real illustrations. If any one of you would ask me to baptize you, sure I will immerse people to keep the word. But I would never make the immersion as a doctrine. If some would not be immersed, but sprinkled, I would say, okay, get yourself sprinkled. I would not oppose it, but I would not do it. You see? There's no doctrine, there's no ordinance, but the living word. We have to keep the word in a living way. If I'm going to immerse a person, I have to pray much. I have to exercise my spirit. I have to say, Lord, anoint me and saturate me and fill me up. Then when I go to baptize my brother, you do it. Then when I do it, I will tell the brother, now, brother, I would put you into the triune God. This is not a ritual. This got to be effect. And I have to tell you another situation. If I am today a sister, whenever I will pray, surely I will have my head covered. But this is not a doctrine. To keep the word in a living way is one thing. To make any point a doctrine is another thing. The holy word is God's revelation. We have to take it and keep it for nourishment, for the growth of life. When I was by myself, I would kneel down to pray. But listen, kneeling down is not a form to me. Kneeling down is not a teaching. You never heard that I taught people to kneel down for prayer. But whenever I knelt down, I did it in the spirit. There's no doctrine, there's no form, there's only realization by the Holy Spirit. You see my point?
Bob, he's given some further examples here. I think these examples are clear enough now and really speak for themselves. I'd really like to focus on what we touched as we led into this section, and that is that the building of God's purpose, of God's heart's desire, is at question in this whole matter of the ordinances. Let's take it to that point.
Yes, Chris, God's desire is to have his people builded together to be absolutely one. The Lord prayed for this in John 17. He said, Father, that they may all be one.
Right.
Even as you, Father, and I are one. This is the oneness. This is the building for us to be built together so that we become one living organism in our wonderful triune God, right? This is God's goal.
Right.
And in order to achieve this, we must have our being, our living, even our worship to God in the Spirit. Not only in the divine spirit, but in our human spirit, our mingled, regenerated human spirit, where the divine spirit dwells. Anything we do outside of our regenerated spirit, where the Spirit of God now dwells, becomes a doctrine, a teaching, an ordinance, a dead, lifeless practice that can only result in our being divided, the church being fractured into thousands of pieces. Instead of the building, the oneness, division is the result. We have to do everything, whether you baptize people by immersion or by sprinkling,
right,
whether you wear a head covering or you don't wear a head covering, whether you use wine or grape juice in your so-called communion or on the Lord's table. These are all outward things that have divided Christians for centuries. Because why? Because they were not practiced in a living way. They were not practiced in the Spirit, in the reality. The reality is in the Spirit, and the building is in the Spirit. Outside the Spirit, there's no reality and there's no building.
So these things, if we get into this whole realm of the ordinances and making ordinances and legalities out of these things that may be real light to us as believers and try to enforce them upon others, the building is just terminated. The building is just utterly stopped in its tracks.
That's exactly right. And that, I think, is what believers have been doing in their zeal to be scriptural. Eventually, they may be unwittingly, but still, it's a fact. They have created thousands of divisions in the church, the body of Christ, instead of producing this one organic building that God desires to have.
Wow. But the place God takes us to, ultimately at the end of the scripture, where the whole scripture points to and brings us to, is this ultimate building of God and man, the New Jerusalem. Wow, a lot in this message, Bob. I feel like we just could scratch the surface today.
I agree, Chris. This is a tremendous matter.
It really is. Well, we have the printed material. We have the life study in its printed form, and we think that if you've been impressed at all today, that this is really what is on the Lord's heart in these days for his people. We hope you'll contact us to get these printed life study messages. So for Bob Danker today, we'll say goodbye. I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening.